Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dice, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon up to Charleston, South Carolina, our good buddy, Dr. Troy Hall. Hey, Dr. Troy.
Hey, how you doing there today, Jason?
I'm doing great. I understand that you were doing some performance preparation before the show. You're going to be out on the road sharing your pearls of wisdom with folks all across the land, and you were doing some filming, so that's pretty cool.
I was, yes. So we were focusing a little bit in this section on the on one of the key attributes of leadership that we've spoken about numerous times, which is being teachable, and about the look at information as though it's a water. And if you were going to interact with this knowledge or this water, would you want to be a rock or a sponge when it comes to being teachable? And it's kind of interesting because when I look at today and what we're going to speak about is, you know, we're going to talk about social media and we're going to talk about it in regards to priorities. And so it sort of becomes like, so will you treat social media like a rock or a sponge? And what will that be like? So I'm really anxious. I'm really excited about hearing what Meredith is going to bring to the show today.
Me too. The name of the show is The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Meredith Olmsted left us wanting more. She is a social media inbound marketing consultant, conference presenter, and founding partner at Social Stairway. She left us wanting more last time she was on the show. I think, gosh, it was back in the summertime, but she is a social media guru. She's going to be here to talk about, I named the episode of the show, The Post-Social Media New World Order. Say that with four Ritz crackers in your mouth. Brought to you in part by XDI, X-Ray Delta India. com. We've got a couple weeks until Christmas, and then before you know it, it's going to be tax time. And regarding tax forms, listen to what Jessica Price said, Senior Care Applications Administrator for Rivermark Credit Union, regarding XDI and their Express Tax Service. Can't say enough about how much I appreciate you and your staff, one of the easiest vendors we ever worked with, XDI.com. Check them out online because it'll be tax time right after Christmas and New Year's. So is life in the hallway ready for Christmas, Dr. Troy?
We are. As a matter of fact, we are taking the family to a place called Clay Ground, and everyone will make some sort of pottery, and we engage in some sort of family activity, and that's where we'll be having our little holiday party, and we'll have a special surprise by a familiar face.
Wow. Well, that's not – now, in that case, it's okay to be a stone, right? If you make some pottery, it's okay for that to be stone-like and not – sponge-like. That is actually
That's
one of my
correct.
Favorite metaphors that we've talked about this year, because as you know, sometimes I tend to be a little more rock than sponge, and it is a fault of mine that I work on with Dr. Troy's help many, many times. Hey, folks, right after the break, we're going to join Meredith Olmsted, and we're going to talk about this, what I think is over a decade now of empirical data on how social media is being deployed, not just at banks and credit unions and in companies, but most recently in the late presidential campaign, and we'll do it all right after this. Is absolutely right. Her name is Meredith Olmsted with Social Stairway. Hey, Meredith, welcome back to the show.
Hi there. How are you?
It is so nice to have you back. Yep. I listened to the entire 2016 presidential campaign postmortem held at the Harvard Kennedy School, and it was fascinating. What was clear to me is that the election was won and lost in the tab fields of Twitter and Facebook. And so I wanted to talk to you. We wanted to talk to you about possible implications for credit unions. And so my first question, clearly social media played a tremendous role in the election of Mr. Trump, and he won. You can look at the results and say he won. I wanted to ask you, as a social media expert, how do credit unions know if they're winning with their social media strategy?
You know, I mean, it's a good question. I think there's a lot of different metrics that we recommend that you look at, but, you know, I think from a little bit of a higher level perspective, rather than just looking at the data. So rather than just looking at, you know, you can look at engagement metrics, you know, whether people are liking, commenting, sharing, retweeting, all that kind of thing. I think you can look at your audience growth, although I kind of stay away from that because I think those are really vanity metrics and don't mean a lot. But, you know, from a higher level standpoint, I really just feel like that credit unions are winning if they're retaining members, if they're staying positive, if they're showcasing their good works on social media, and if they're able to respond to everyone who's interacting with them. So I think that's really kind of not so much, you know, stuck in the numbers so much, but like really kind of thinking about, you know, from a positive brand sentiment, how is your credit union doing? And, you know, I haven't listened to the Kennedy School, but you were the piece that you're talking about, Jason, but I did listen to an interview with Megyn Kelly, who was on the Fox News anchor and who was kind of impacted quite a bit through Twitter and social media during the election by Donald Trump's Twitter account. And whether or not you agree, you know, politically or on either side with, you know, all of those complicated issues and topics that were raised by both sides via social media, I do feel like that as credit unions, you know, there is a mission there that is just better, is more positive, is more inclusive. It is more, you know, it's kind of a business and a mission and an industry that is there for the right reasons and doing things to help people legitimately. And I don't think that getting caught up in some of the, you know, just the bad feelings and the negative, you know, kind of like let's get people riled up just so that they'll retweet and you know, and like me. I just don't think that's really what credit unions should be doing on social.
Yeah, I think that it's important that we consider what the purpose of social media is. Social media is a venue or it's a medium in order for us to go ahead and extend the conversation. So without social media, you don't have the opportunity to have all the various connecting points that you have along the way. And so for me, that's what I see is the value in social media. Do you see social media in that aspect? Meredith, do you see it being that?
Yeah, absolutely.
About the conversation?
Absolutely. And it's another documentable member touch point, you know, so for our credit unions, you know, we aren't just talking about, okay, let's see if we can connect with the ROI of the loan that was closed, you know, but it's, can you look back over the course of the last 12 months and see that your member retention has improved, you know, that people aren't leaving as in the same rates that they were in previous years. And, you know, are you positively interacting with members online, you know, through social media, through email marketing, you know, on your website, maybe through comments or blog traffic, you know, all of those kinds of things are extremely important in staying positive, but then, you know, really kind of tracking, okay, what's that overall impact that your social media is having on the bigger mission and goals for the credit union.
And one of the things that I wanted to connect was this the strategic aspect of social media and looking at, you know, priorities for organizations. And so one of the things that I had access to was looking at the financial brand, and they put out a list of the top 10 strategic items for financial institutions in 2017. And it appears, according to the list, that social media was not specifically identified within that. Did you find any place in the group that you would connect social media, and do you think that it was a mistake if it was omitted?
Well, I mean, that I'm looking at that financial brand piece, and I have a couple comments. Number one, it looks like this is the survey, you know, so you're kind of asking leaders or whoever, you know, the touch point is at the various financial institutions, you know, what are their top three strategic priorities? So, you know, would I guess that if you were going to ask a CEO at a credit union if social media was in their top three strategic priorities for 2017, it might not make the top three cut. When you add all of those top three into a top 10 list, but you didn't ask your CEO for the top 10, you ask them for three. So that could be a reason why social media didn't make that list. But then the second thing is, it's not a huge surprise. I mean, I think a lot of credit unions and a lot of financial institutions in general, you know, haven't made the leap to really focusing on a digital approach. I mean, they are into the digital experience for their members, so they understand the value of an app, but they are still kind of, you know, treating a lot of other digital assets in a traditional manner. So I'll give you an example. I'm working with a credit union right now that is quite small, actually, and they spend a tremendous amount of money on digital ads every month to broadcast a product promotion, like a rate promo, but they have spent almost zero in engaging and in developing their social media presence. So that is a case where you've clearly got budget priorities in the digital space, but they're being used in a very traditional manner and missing the point of what people are doing online and where you want to be interacting with them. So I think, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, and what I was going to say with in what you're talking about there is where I made the connection myself. Strategically, I would be looking at the digital experience. I would be looking at how the consumer wants to connect. The one thing we know for sure is the data is pointing to the fact that members or consumers expect more on-demand and more self-serve opportunity. And I think
that
social media plays a role in being a tactical to help you achieve the strategic initiative, which is improving the digital experience, because social media is a digital conversation that individuals have. And if we go back to our previous conversation, we already said that social media is a way to extend the conversation. So I think that what we are helping to make the connection here is that credit unions or institutions or businesses should be considering the digital experience, because we also know that the marketplace today is becoming more technology dependent and therefore cannot do things unless the technology is available to them. And that's what social media also does. It allows for them to connect on demand, self-serve connect, extend the conversation, and be part of a much bigger picture.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Absolutely. And, you know, I wonder, you almost could say by extension that the number one priority, which was redesign and enhance the digital experience, I guess you could say part of that is could be connected to social media. If you were using your social media channels to advertise a new app or a new website, that's a whole part of that I hadn't even really thought about until I just listened to Meredith talk about it. We're visiting with Meredith Olmsted, a social media and inbound marketing consultant and the founding partner at Social Stairway. But let's say a credit union in Connecticut came to you, Meredith, and said, man, we just need you as our CEO. And they hired you and you accepted the gig as the CEO of ABC Credit Union. And they said, the only thing is the board has said you have to limit the social media to two channels. Hypothetical, I understand. But if it were that situation, which two would you pick and why?
I mean, I think that it's a pretty easy answer for us, really. Facebook and, to a slightly lesser extent, Instagram, mostly because we're still trying to get our heads around as an agency, and I think most agencies are trying to get a better sense of how to really maximize Instagram as a platform and, on behalf of a financial institution. So I think you have to be – it feels like a really simple platform, but the strategy is quite complex and takes a lot of thought. But both of those have extraordinarily advanced targeting capabilities when it comes to ad support. And so you can, as well as Twitter, but I think Twitter is somewhat of a mistake for credit unions, especially mid-size or smaller, that if you're really trying to kind of stay within your core member while pushing down that age slightly, I think Instagram is a great opportunity for a lot of CUs. And then Facebook is just kind of that tried and true. Everybody is there, even if they're not engaging there and posting, they're all checking in. They're all there. And you can target them and you can be very, very strategic. The third one, you know, if I were to get in front of a board, most boards really like me, so I could probably talk them into something else, is I I would recommend credit unions definitely paying attention to local listings. So, you know, there are third-party apps out there that can help you kind of monitor Yelp or Google reviews and those kinds of places and make sure that you're not missing any negative reviews anywhere, just so that, because people do use those local listing services to find products and services and sometimes banks. And so it could be definitely somewhere that I don't think that should be missed as a priority. And I will say, I just want to put in a plug for the financial brand again. You know, they definitely do value social media as an organization. I'm going out there next May to present, and specifically they wanted me to present on social media ads and how to support lending products and services and financial products and services using social media ads. So that definitely is something that the financial brand recognizes as a huge priority and need for financial institutions.
Oh, really good, really good. Hey, listen, Meredith, on behalf of Dr. Troy and myself, we want to wish you and yours the happiest and most blessed Christmas season imaginable. Thank you so much for jumping back on the show. We'll probably get back to you early next year, and we see how all of this shakes out. I think the social media landscape is going to change, and I'm glad that we have people like you out there advising and consulting with credit unions on what it all means, and we want to thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Awesome. Well, it's always a pleasure talking with you too, and I'm happy to join anytime.
Great. Thank you for
right.
being here.
Meredith Olmsted, really nice. Great job, as always. Dr. Troy and I will wrap it up right after this.
On behalf of Jason and Troy, Merry Christmas, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening indeed. Holy cow, Dr. Troy, one show left in the year that is 2017. Final thoughts on our good buddy Meredith Olmsted and her take on what may or may not be the post-social media new world order.
Definitely. I mean, this is very consistent with messaging that we have provided before. So again, you know, we've heard from another expert within the marketplace that furthers, you know, what we have been saying ourselves. And so having individuals like Meredith on board with us during the call really helps provide proof to those business leaders who are skeptical of these solutions and how to leverage these solutions. And I strongly recommend that when a leader is unclear about how this may or may not impact, they need to reach out to individuals and gain more information. Meredith is a great resource that individuals could use in order to help them assess that. And I'm glad that she wrapped back up around regarding the financial brand, because I wasn't meaning my question to be that financial brand did something wrong by not listing social media.
Right, yeah.
As a top item. I was trying to make a connection between the fact that it's more of a tactical initiative than as a strategy, and sometimes it's important for leaders to understand how those tactics and those strategies all connect to each other. So that was all good.
Yep, and I will also be at that event out in Vegas for the financial brand in 2018. I have the link there in the episode description, folks. If you want to check out that survey, the link is right there in the episode description. I've printed out exactly two articles since the year 2001. Both have been from the financial brand, one of my absolute favorite, Jeffrey Pilcher and his crew over there do such a great job with this kind of reporting and news and information for the financial marketplace. So check them out. Last question real quick before we get out of here, Dr. Troy. I was just scrolling through my Twitter feed the other day and saw something from a place called At My Credit Unions, and it referred to credit unions as alternative banking. And there was something about that phrase that I was like, you know what? We've been kind of trying to find a way to distinguish credit unions from for-profit banks and sometimes not-for-profit financial cooperative, locally owned member, but it can get a little taxing, you know, brevity being the soul of wit. I like that, alternative banking. As a leadership guru and a branding expert, what are your thoughts on alternative banking instead of saying bank versus credit union or not-for-profit banking? I liked it, alternative banking, very simple.
I think that when you have a lot of experience in the marketplace like we do with all the interactions we've had, and we understand cooperatives and to do that. I think that if you certainly want to discuss alternate banking, you could. I'm not sure what it means to the consumer, so I'd have to do a little bit more research and say, well, how does that resonate? I mean, for you and me, we are like, oh, yeah, that could be really cool. But the seriousness of all this is that it doesn't matter to us. It matters to the people
that's
we're trying
true.
To reach.
That is true.
So
that is
if
true.
Alternate banking means something to someone else, then by all means we
alternative banking, yeah.
Oh, yeah, alternative, sorry. Then that means that we have hit a home run. If it doesn't mean anything to anybody else, then you were right back to the same conversation we were before. We just found
exactly right.
another way to mix it up. We found another way to mess people up.
No, exactly. And hey, Dr. Troy and I have been trying not to mess people up on this show for a long time, and we're going to keep doing our best to make sure that we bring you great guests, great topics, and of course, great conversation here each and every week. With one show left, my name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from New Braunfels, Texas. His name is Dr. Troy from the holy city of Charleston, South Carolina. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Yes, thank you, sir. You too. And remember, even though it may be raining, the sun is still shining in Charleston.
Always shining in Charleston, South Carolina. It may always be sunny in Philadelphia, but the sun is always shining in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yep.
Dr. Troy Hall. Hey, everybody else, until next we speak, Dr. Troy and I will talk to you all next week, the final show of 2016. Stay tuned to find out what that's going to be all about. Thank you so much, Meredith. Thank you, Dr. Troy, and thank you for listening. My name is Jason Dias, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
That's all, folks.